Welcome to Coastline on WHQR. If you're in the mood for some chat about World War II, we're playing a little bit of Glenn Miller music here to get you in the mood, because we're having a conversation about military history with military historian Wilbur Jones. Wilbur is a retired captain in the U.S. Navy Reserve and immediate past chairman of the USS North Carolina Battleship Commission, also chairman of the World War II Wilmington Homefront Heritage Commission. I'm Cleve Callison. I'm sitting in today for Rachel Lewis-Hilburn, encouraging you to be part of this conversation today. You can make a call to 910-343-1138, or you can make your comment or question online by writing to us at coastline@whqr.org. And Wilbur, we were talking about the issue of submarines. I've heard this rumor. Maybe you know this rumor. Maybe it's a true story that everybody knows, that there was the body of a German submariner washed up somewhere around here, and in his pocket was a ticket stub from a local movie theater. Is there any truth to that?
Sounds good, doesn't it?
It does.
Let's see. I guess you're probably the 200th person that we've had this conversation about. In fact, Ben Steelman of the Star News and I
were. Well, that's probably where I saw it, was in Ben Steelman's call.
We were emailing each other about that, and I think it is a myth. It is a very good story.
It's a good one.
But the important thing is that we do have evidence that German spies came ashore in the Carolina Beach, Curie Beach area. And they were apprehended, and we don't know what happened to them after that. But the business of having Bailey Theater tickets in the pocket is probably what an urban legend?
Yeah, that's the right term.
But anyway, let's put that to rest.
Okay.
Move on.
All right, we'll move on. This is Coastline, and we encourage you to get in touch with us here. We do have a caller on the line. We'll get to her in just a second. Our phone number, 910-343-1138, talking with Wilbur Jones. And we're going to say hello to Ellen from Hampstead. Ellen, you're on the air. Welcome to Coastline.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I find anything about World War II very fascinating. My father was killed in 1943, February 3rd. And he was on the Dorchester. I know the history of the Dorchester, but I would just love to know if there are any survivors, anybody that was on that ship that are still alive today.
I can't answer that question universally. I have never run into anybody in Wilmington who was a survivor, but certainly for those who don't know the story of the Dorchester, that was the case where the Armed Forces chaplains gave their life jackets to members of the Armed Forces so they could save themselves. And
the story of the four chaplains.
Yeah. And the chaplains went down with the Dorchester. I would love to talk to you privately at your convenience about this story, because I've always felt that it was fascinating. Please contact me.
Ellen, if you would, if you'll stay on the line, we'll get our producer, Claudia Thompson, to get your contact information so that you and Wilbur can get in touch with each other afterwards.
Okay. Thank you very much for taking a call. And the show is very, very interesting. Thank you.
Well, good. Thank you very much, Ellen.
Okay.
I appreciate
Bye-bye. Hearing
from you. This is Coastline. Our guest is World War II historian Wilbur Jones. We're going to say hello now to – let me see if I can turn that one off. There we go. We're going to say hello now to Ray from this is Ray from Wilmington. Ray, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Thanks, sir. Mr. Jones, I just would ask you to comment on two things. One, there was an enormous Army base at Holly Ridge that essentially vanished after the war. You know, enormous place up there with a lot of people were stationed.
Yeah, Camp Davis.
Yeah, and that's always intrigued me. And the other thing, if you got comments on the importance, I think one of the reasons subs may have laid offshore was the shipyard here. They put out a lot of ships. I think that was the biggest contribution we made to the war. They put ships out in record time down there at the shipyard. You got any notes on that or anything?
Oh, sure. To your first question, Let's go to the second question first, and because we were talking about the number of ships that were built here, 243 altogether, and the submarines, it was like they were bait for the potential sinking, and it was not unlikely that many of them were chased after they finished their shakedown cruise and were commissioned and sent into service. And we even know that one of them was sunk not too far off the mouth of the Cape Fear River. And your first question?
I'm not sure that he's still on the line.
About Camp Davis?
Yes, sir.
You know what happened to it? It was literally dismantled after the war. The Army closed the base down in 1944. It was an anti-aircraft artillery training base, and it had an advanced training base down at Fort Fisher. Some remnants of Fort Fisher World War II are still there, and they have a nice exhibit in the Fort Fisher Museum. But if you go to Camp Davis today, all you will see is just a metal pole marker, historic marker. There are a few signs there. In fact, the last time I drove through Camp Davis was just a couple of months ago. And there are some structures, foundations still there, maybe a building or two. And you can see the company streets. And the Marines have taken over from Camp Lejeune, have taken over the airstrip that was in use. But all the buildings were dismantled. They were sold. In fact, the chaplain, one of the chapels at Fort Fisher is now Greenfield Lake Baptist Church, right off of Greenfield in that area. So
it was moved from Camp Davis.
And they were sold for nickel and a dime because the military stayed there for a couple of years after the war until it was finally just decommissioned.
You're listening to Coastline on WHQR. Our guest is Wilbur Jones. I'm Cleve Callison, sitting in today for Rachel Lewis Hilburn. Our phone number is 910-343-1138, and our email address is coastline@whqr.org. We're going to say now hello to Val Jean in Wilmington. Val Jean, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hi. My question is, I heard that there was a POW camp at the corner of 8th and Ann, and I was wondering if any of those prisoners stayed in the area or in the country after the war was over?
That's an excellent question. We had three prisoner of war camps here. As a matter of fact, the one you referred to between 8th and 10th on Ann Street and what is now Robert Strange Park, directly across from Williston Middle School, which during the war was the black high school, Williston Industrial High School. So that was the main camp. The first camp was at the corner of Shipyard Boulevard and Carolina Beach Road, right behind where the CVS drugstore is now. We have a historical marker there on that corner. And they were all German prisoners. They were captured in Tunisia in North Africa when General Rommel's Africa Corps surrendered in May of 1943. We got our share. They came here. We had about 550 Germans altogether at the maximum in that camp at Robert Strange Park. There was a third camp. It was a detachment that was out at Wilmington Army Air Base or Bledenthal Field. And after the war, none of them stayed here, but several of them came back to Wilmington after the war, and a number of them stayed in touch with Wilmingtonians for whom they had worked, because we had a labor shortage, and many of them were farmers, and they helped on the farms and the fertilizer factories in the area, and they stayed in touch with their Wilmington hosts.
That's fascinating to think about that that bond between people and something like that enduring even after the war, after the hostilities were over. That's an interesting story. You're listening to Coastline on WHQR. We're about halfway through this edition of the program, getting a lot of calls here, and we're going to take them just as quickly as we can. 910-343-1138. Our guest is Wilbur Jones. We're talking about military history with special reference to World War II in Wilmington. Let's say hello to Nancy from Wilmington. Nancy, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hi. I know we're talking about World War II, but I'm just curious. I know next year will be the centennial of the U.S. entry into World War I, and I'm just wondering if your guests could speak to Wilmington's involvement in World War I and if there are going to be any events planned next year.
Yes, and thank you for thinking of the centennial of World War I. We've already started activities, as a matter of fact. A couple of years ago, we put together a public and government or a private team and moved the county's, New Hanover County's only World War I memorial from in front of New Hanover High School down to the Riverwalk, right next to where the Coast Guard cutter Diligence docks. And I invite you to go down and see it. All these years, since early 1920s, that memorial had been at New Hanover High School, and no one even knew what it was. Nobody ever stopped to look at it. And so it was in connection with the centennial of World War I, we moved it down to the Riverwalk, where it's now very prominent, and go and visit. As far as other activities, working with Director Julie Wilsey of Wilmington ILM, we are going to update the displays in memorial to Arthur Blethenthal, who was a Wilmington aviator for whom the airport eventually was named. He was the first Wilmingtonian killed during World War I. He was flying with the French Lafayette Flying Corps and was killed in 1918. And we're going to do something special to commemorate him.
Thanks very much for your call, Nancy. We appreciate hearing from you. You're listening to Coastline here on Public Radio, WHQR. Our guest is Wilbur Jones, military historian. Our phone number, 910-343-1138. And let's see, we're going to go to Bill from Wallace. Bill, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. Just a follow-up comment on the Camp Davis and some of the chapels that got scattered about. I'm a Presbyterian minister and serve a Potts Memorial Presbyterian Church in Enderley, North Carolina, that moved one of those chapels there. The chapel's pretty much in its same original condition. You can see a couple numbers on the wall where they moved it board by board. And they also moved, I believe it was a barracks that they used as their fellowship hall. And it's quite sort of a capsule of time, the way it's been preserved.
Have you ever been to that one, Wilbur, at Penderley?
No, I haven't. But when I'm up there, I will stop in.
Okay.
They would love to have you.
All right. Bill, thanks very much for your call. You're listening to Coastline on WHQR. Let's get one more call coming in here. This is, let me make sure that I've got it going here. This is George from Wilmington. George, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you. My question is actually, I've been rereading The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, I think in part based to current circumstances, and I've been struck by some rather amazing similarities. And I was wondering if your guest would comment about our current political environment, our candidates, and how he thinks they do or do not seem to mirror some of the social and political situations that preceded World War II. And I'll take my answer off the line. Thanks.
Thanks very much. I don't know that either Wilbur or us is an authority on current political matters. I don't know that I want to touch that
one. Let's stick to World War II
and
other things. Yes.
Thanks very much. All of these things are kind of in the eye of the beholder.
That's right. That was nice of him to call. I'm glad that he's reading that book because it's very informative, and certainly he will learn a lot from it. But I would prefer stick to World War II and military history.
You're listening to Coastline. Our guest today is Wilbur Jones, and we're talking with him about various aspects of military history, particularly World War II and the effort to make Wilmington a World War II city. Although there's a lot more we can talk about, but we did get a call. That caller is no longer on the line. This is Ann from Wilmington, and I believe this is the Ann Wilbur that you and I both know, and she was asking about the play that has been written, Margaret Rogers, is that the name? something like that? Maybe we got that name wrong. But there's a play that is being written about World War II and about Wilmington in World War II. And I know, Wilbur, you know about that. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay. Well, Margaret Rogers, dearly departed, was a wonderful friend of mine and was one of my cohorts in preserving history for a number of years. But this play, and I'm glad that Ann called in, this year is the 75th anniversary of the Hannah Block Historic USO Community Arts Center at 2nd and Orange Street, downtown Wilmington. It's also the 75th anniversary of the start of the USOs in the United States, but let me tell you what we're going to do. We have an original musical play titled Mrs. World War II Wilmington, We Fell in Love at the USO. It is written and will be produced by Tony Stimmick. Tony is a recent resident moved to Wilmington. He is a 40-year veteran of New York musical theater, writing, directing, producing. And his script is about soldiers from Camp Davis who meet local women and the things that go on during the war, and love triangles and so on, and with the ending taking place over in London as they are deployed and getting ready to go into the European battlefields. So we will have the opening night gala reception on Veterans Day, November the 11th, and then for that production, we'll have two productions on November the 12th, and a matinee on November the 13th. So y'all mark your calendar and come on down to the USO for an original play.
So it will be at the USO.
Yes, it will. And there are a number of original scores that I've heard that are written for this play by New York songwriters. They're fantastic, and we're blending it in with some of the old favorites, contemporary songs such as In the Mood, Sentimental Journey.
And we're playing some of those today on our show. Yeah. I want to get one more call in before we take a break. So we're going to go to Bob from Castle Hayne. Bob, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I went to the Hannah Block USO open house they had there two weekends ago. It was very interesting. First time I'd been there since it was redone. And I was notified about it by the article in the paper, Wilmington paper, the day before. And it had a picture of Villefranche-sur-Mer, France. And Wilbur, you had mentioned in it that I think you had been there. Were you based there in the military, or was this later visits?
Well, thank you. You got two of my favorite subjects in one there. That picture of Villefranche-sur-Mer on the French Riviera was a photo I took in a four-week trip to France in May. And after that, I wrote this piece for the Star News titled French Cuisine, Wines, and Culture about my experiences there. And I first went to France in 1958. I go there regularly. And the Star News thought, because I've written so many articles for them on military history and national defense, hey, why don't you write a low-tech primer for the average American traveler going to France? And I thought that would be tremendous. And we had a real good time, my traveling companion and I, and putting that together and writing the story.
Captain Jones?
Yes, Bob, make it quick.
Yes, I spent 22 months home-based in that port in 1965 to 66 in the U.S. Navy. I was on the flagship of the 6th Fleet.
That's right. That was the home port of the 6th Fleet, Villefranche, for a long time.
Bob, thank you very much for your call. We're going to take a short break here, and then we'll come back for the final section of today's program. If you'd like to talk to Wilbur Jones, our phone number is 910-343-1138, or we can take your email questions at coastline@whqr.org. You're listening to Coastline on your public radio station, HQR News 91.3. We'll be back.